Welcome to another edition of the Books and Culture Podcast with Books and Culture's editor, John Wilson, and I'm Stan Guthrie. We're going to look at a book of poetry by Robert Siegel. Why don't you tell us about it?
The book is Within This Tree of Bones. It's the third in an excellent series published by Cascade, which is an imprint of Wipfenstock, and the series is edited by Don Martin. I want to mention that on the Books and Culture website, we'll soon be having an interview with Don Martin about the series. This book is the work of a poet who I deeply admired, Robert Siegel. Wendy and I also had the chance to know Bob and his wife Anne as friends through that Christian writers group I mentioned, the Chrysostom Society. And Bob died on December 20th. This book is both a wonderful memorial, but it's also an invitation to people to discover his work for the first time and then go on further. It's a new and selected poem, so many of the poems have appeared in other collections, and there's some new ones. I want to read a couple of things to you. First, I just want to read what I wrote. It's on the back of the book. Robert Siegel is one of my favorite poets, and I'm frustrated that so many readers are unfamiliar with him. This handsome new and selected volume is an ideal introduction to his work, and I may just resort to hawking it on street corners like those ragamuffin kids peddling papers in old movies. You want the latest news? Read Within This Tree of Bones. I think Bob Siegel wrote poems in many forms, but some of my favorite poems of his, and the ones that for me are most distinctively his, are poems about the natural world, and especially poems about animals. Let me just read a little bit from something I wrote about an earlier collection of Bob's, which was called A Pentecost of Finches, which was published by Paraclete. The editor at the time, she's now with Abingdon, was Lil Copan, who's a wonderful editor and dear friend. Long before English departments and writing programs went green, long before the advent of echo criticism, Robert Siegel's poetry and fiction firmly located the human in what gets called the natural world, though what he sees is infused with something not comprehended by nature as many people today understand it. In Siegel's poems, the world is never denatured as it is in much contemporary writing. Neither is nature a realm set apart from the human. Rather, it is all a tangle, hence Siegel's favorite subject, the beasts, the animals, the birds of the air, the creatures of river and lake and sea, and all manner of creeping things. As Thomas Nagel has argued, we can't know what it is like to be a bat or a squirrel or a mosquito, but we can imagine other creatures in our own image, so to speak, trying to, at the same time, to respect their particularity, their inscape. Humans have been doing this as far back as we can trace, from cave paintings of bison to Aesop's fables, from Native American cosmologies to the wind in the willows. Siegel has great riches to draw on. The riddle poem, for instance, in which a creature speaks in its own voice, and the poem ends explicitly or implicitly with the question, "Who am I?" Children love these, and Siegel is one of those fortunate writers who haven't lost touch with childhood. Many of his own poems resemble riddle poems in some way, even though they aren't riddles, because the name of the creature is the title of the poem. Here's an example of one of those, Giant Panda. It's a short poem, just seven stanzas of two lines each, that begins with homely details but already hints where it's heading. In the white mist of morning, I find my place, a square of the sun where I can balance and chew the shoots, their green light in my mouth. So that white mist and the green light prepare us for the concluding couplets, in which the panda is a Buddhist sage. I sit, the world circling about me, holding the secret between tongue and palate, the sweetness of nothing, above which the mind shimmers like a forest of silks. And one of my favorite poems, which appears in this collection, and I am very proud to say it was originally published in Books and Culture, is called Daddy Longlegs. It is alarming how quickly I climb your khaki pant leg, then scurry over the grass you brush me to, climb up a tree, though I seem to have no head for direction. Here, 10 lines into the poem, we are in the backyard, in the quotidian, but how quickly, with no strain, Siegel can shift our perspective. Though I move, I am still here, and here, and here, and here, my scurrying legs, the mere static of time and the brilliance of being. How does Siegel do it? Again, in part by establishing the plausibility of a voice. The voice of the daddy long legs is very different from that of the panda, for instance, or the alligator, or the other creatures. In part by cunningly showing how the ordinary is extraordinary. But there is also a more elusive ingredient, Siegelness, we might call it. Whatever there is in his imagination that is truly his, so that the leap to the next stanza comes with the wild delight of an imaginary starship on the big screen shifting into hyperspace. I remember sitting with our son Andrew when he was about 5 years old and watching Star Wars, and felt something like that when I read this poem for the first time. I appear to have no eyes, no ears, no mouth. I am a single thought surrounding itself, a singular idea, an eye staring at the inside of the universe, a pinpoint of light which holds within itself the history of the Big Bang and the revolving archangels of the deity, the Pleistocene and Waterloo, and the Grammy Awards, a singularity indeed from which all flows and circles on itself. You've seen the universe in a grain of sand. Here is the universe in a daddy long legs. But it is not just the universe as promoted in a number of visually impressive but vacuous museum shows and coffee table books, where the human, if mentioned at all, is irrelevant, trivial, a blip on the cosmic scale. The universe in Siegel's poem is the universe as seen by us, the only universe we know, and in its unfathomable strangeness shedding light back on us. Astonishing is a word overused by critics. Maybe it should be retired, but in the meantime, it can fairly be said that as this poem proceeds to its conclusion, four more stanzas after the one quoted above, the reader should be astonished as well as delighted, and ever after will think twice before harming a daddy long legs.
Great. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Dan, and thanks to Bob Siegel for the wonderful poems that he left us, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again someday under the larches of paradise.